with 11% unemployment, it's not that we have an unemployment problem. It's that we have a hiring problem. There aren't too few jobs. The problem is there aren't enough skilled workers to take all the jobs that are available. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. And yes, that's very controversial. And I can understand for folks that are on unemployment that haven't had a job maybe for a year or two or three, that's darn well hurtful. But the fact is, employers all over this country, employers in your community are right now looking for help, trying to find the skilled workers that they need in their businesses, but they can't find it. In fact, according to the Kiplinger Letter, volume 89 or 86, number 51, over 60% of businesses say it's difficult to find qualified workers. Despite the loss of 8 million jobs since the recession began, manufacturers as a whole have continued to seek qualified machinists, machine operators, welders, laser die cutters, and other highly skilled laborers, and engineers, chemical, nuclear, environmental, and others with special training remain in short supply. Also, scientists, the demand for nurses, nursing teachers, physician's assistants, physical therapists, pharmacists, and other healthcare workers outstrip the supply, as well as with skilled information technology workers from system analysts to programmers. Now that the economy has began to perk up, you know, with company layoffs waning, the demand for skilled employees is rising. However, we're going to find that unemployment stays steady or stays the same because businesses cannot find the employees they need to run their businesses, to help their companies grow. And you know what? As a business owner, this problem is going to get progressively worse because we have the baby boomers, who the generation that was born between 1946 and 1964, and that actually represent 40% of the current workforce, are starting to retire. And as they retire, not only are we losing the information and knowledge that that's stored within them, we're also losing our most highly skilled, highly trained, highly experienced workforce. It's never going to be more difficult to own and run a business than it is now. And yet, it's never been a better opportunity for those who are skilled or for those who will get themselves skilled. This is the opportunity of a lifetime, because there's the largest turnover in employment that we've ever had in our lifetime. And now, instead of, you know, when the baby boomers were coming in and there were so many of them competing for so few jobs, now it's completely reverse. Now employers are having to compete for the highly skilled workers. So what's the solution? What can you do? Become a highly skilled worker and become the type of person or the type of business that can create results for your customers, because they're out there looking for results. They're looking for these skills. And now it's time that these skills are more valued than any other time before in our history. And if you have them, you will be valued. Your business will be valued, and you'll have all the customers that you need, because there's never been this much demand. All right. So what are you doing? What are you going to do in order to generate that knowledge? You know, looking at these key industries: physical therapy, pharmacists, healthcare workers, information technology, welders, laser die cutters, skilled labor. All these are things that are in demand. Financial services, maybe, but not as much as other places. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see that we have a glut of financial services workers. You know, insurance, not on the list. Accountants, not on the list. Sorry, I'm a CPA, so I understand. But these other, you know, environmental engineers are on the list. So what can you do to get the skills to prepare you for the next decade? Do you need to go back to school? Do you need to take a job at an introductory level so that you can develop the skills as you go? All of these things are great ideas and great strategies for getting you back into the labor force and out of skills that aren't in demand and into skills that are in demand. Because, you know, what's there in demand? You have set not only yourself and your family up for financial success. And you're on the right program for financial success, Business Nation Radio. Stay right here. We're going to talk about business metrics, how to measure your business into success right after this brief message. This is Business Station Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. There are two main keys to business and business success that we talk about all the time. And number one is all money comes from making sales, and that you will make money in your business in proportion to your ability and willingness to go out and generate customers and make sales in your business. Nothing happens in business until somebody makes a sale, and nothing's going to happen for you until you go out there and make sales for your business. But how many times have you seen business owners, or how many times have you experienced this yourself, that once you get out there and make some sales and generate customers, all of a sudden you're busy, slammed. I was talking to somebody even just this weekend. He's like, oh man, it's just this, you know, I go out and I do some marketing, and then all of a sudden I'm so busy I can't keep up with it, and I don't get the marketing done. And then after a while I don't have any customers, so I'm broke. And it's this, you know, I described it as a yo-yo effect, where you're going back, where you're so busy with customers, and then you're slow, and then you're busy and you're slow, and you're never able to keep up with everything. Well, that is why the second part of business. So number one was all money comes from generating sales. And number two is the lifestyle in your business comes by creating business processes and business systems. And you know what? This isn't anything new. You've heard about this, haven't you? Certainly Michael Gerber in his book, The E-Myth, and his most recent book, The E-Myth Mastery, talks all about how important it is to create systems. So it's nothing new, but why don't people do it? Well, the fact is really there's almost nobody teaching it. Very few places out there are teaching business owners how to create systems. I know. I've looked through dozens, bought hundreds of manuals, all kinds of books, all kinds of processes, gone to all kinds of seminars to try to find out how to create business systems myself. Haven't seen it, have found very few. But on today's program, we have two experts that are going to help show you how you can create business processes and systems that will help enable you to create that business owner lifestyle, or at least help you get control of your business so that it's not out of control, running away from you, keeping you from doing what you need to get done. That's business systems. Think of it like this. You're in the car, you got, you know, the gas pedal to help your business go. You've got, and that gas pedal is the new customers. Then you've got the steering wheel, because if you just press the gas, you're going to crash very soon. Well, you got to steer, and the steering is the balancing your prices and the transaction size and the amount that each customer spends with you, versus trying to balance how frequently you get your customers to come back. And that's your steering wheel. Then you've got the gauges and landmarks. Those are your metrics, your business numbers. And then you have your creature comforts, your air conditioning and your heat in the winter, and AC in the summer. That is the business systems. And of course, once you've driven a car with heat or driven a car with air conditioning, you're not going to drive one without it. The same thing. You're not going to run a business without business systems as soon as you run one with. And that's the type of things that we're teaching you on today's program. The last 2 weeks here on Business Station Radio, we've talked all about generating new customers. Then last week, we talked about how to get your customers to buy from you more frequently and spend more money with you each time they buy. If you want to go back and listen to those programs, you can do that at my blog at www.robertscrobe.com. That's robertscrobe.com. My guest today, we're going to talk all about systems. You're going to get hardcore detailed training that is going to help you build effective business systems in your business that's going to help you get free, get control over projects, get them done more efficiently, and get them done more faster so that you can get on to the next thing and make more money. Or so that you can get yourself out of the day-to-day grind of running your business. I had a friend of mine who ran a business. He's like, there's never a day where I don't have some disaster come up that I have to be there for or my employees couldn't take care of it. Well, we're going to talk about how you can avoid just those disasters and how you can create processes that all of your employees can implement. My guests are Tom Pizdak. He is an expert in a thing called Six Sigma. It's six as in the number six and Sigma. It's a funny name, but it's a great way to build business processes. And my guest after Thomas is Melanie Benson Strick. Her expertise is in working with small business people, helping them create business processes. So we got Tom Pizdak, expert in big corporate Six Sigma processes. We've got Melanie Benson Strick, who's an expert in small businesses and helping new business owners create processes from the start when they're launching their business. We got this thing bracketed on both sides. You're going to have a great program here on Business Nation Radio. Again, if you want to go back to past episodes and listen about new customer creation, about increasing your prices, or about getting your customers to buy from you more frequently, that is at my blog at robertskrobe.com. That's robertskrobe.com. We'll be right back with Tom Pizdak and insights for you to create your own business systems after this. Just a couple of years ago, I discovered how to triple my fees, and my customers were never happier. But then I discovered an ugly truth. As long as my income depended on my labor, I was going to be stuck forever. Didn't matter how much I charged, it wasn't enough, because if I took a vacation, my income stopped. If I got sick, my business was closed. I was on a grind treadmill with no way off. But then I figured out a system that allows you to work once and get paid many times for your labors. And I actually recorded a special video that shows you how several people packaged what they know into information products so that they could do the labor once and get paid many times. There's a special website set up with this video. It's at guruquick.com. That's guruquick.com. At that video, I show you several ways that you can create your own products, how you could package them, and make them available for sale. This allows you to take what you know and make it available so that people can buy it and consume it without you having to spend your time and labor. You can create the product once and sell it many times. The margins are great because you're selling paper and ink and CDs. Or even better, you're selling downloadable ebooks over the internet. You know what the markup is for a downloadable ebook? Well, I tell you, it's all profit. And I can tell you how you can create an all-profit business. And I set up a special video at guruquick.com. That's GuruQuick.com. Check it out so you could break the chains of time and money. And so you could do the work once and get paid many times. The website again is guruquick.com. Check it out today. Now, one of the toughest parts of creating business systems is how to create business systems. There are very few guides for business owners, and so many of the gurus and books, they tell you to create them, but don't tell you how to create them. My guest today is Tom Pizdak. He is author of the book, The Six Sigma Handbook, the complete guide for green belts, black belts, and managers of all levels. And he is an expert on creating systems and wrote a step-by-step guide to teach you to do it. He's here as my guest today on Business Nation Radio. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Robert. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, the Six Sigma sounds like it's complicated and difficult, but really it's just the name of the process for creating business processes. Is that true?
That's correct. There are complicated aspects to it, but that is for a special group of trained change agents. And from the management perspective, it's actually quite simple and quite straightforward.
Okay. Now, how does somebody start? You know, a business owner, they're overwhelmed. They've already got more than they can do. They're frustrated because they've got all these projects and opportunities and things that they would want to accomplish. What's the most important thing that they can do to get started systemizing their business?
Well, of course, a good place to start would be to read my Six Sigma handbook. But in addition to that,
when they read it, what will they find out that is their first step?
What they're going to find out is that the important first step is to identify their own vision. Where do they want the business to go? What would they like the business to become in the future?
Okay. And by vision, so they're creating a kind of a written down on paper, a description of what they want their business to look like in 3 years or 5 years, the number of customers, number of employees, things like that.
Well, actually, it's more conceptual than that. For example, Bill Gates wanted to see a computer in every home, and he was going to write software to make that possible and to enable that.
Wow.
So it's very long term. The folks at Japanese corporations have visions that they'd like to achieve hundreds of years out. So it's something that gives your stakeholders a continuity that they can hang on to as the leadership in the business changes, as it moves from one generation to the next, if it's a family business and
okay.
so on.
How does that vision help them in their day-to-day business?
Well, what it helps them do is to identify the stakeholders who are going to help them achieve their goals. And this is important because you can go to the stakeholder, and if the stakeholder is your investor, you'll say, look, here's what I'm trying to achieve and trying to accomplish, and I'd like you to help me accomplish that goal, and you will accomplish your goals in the process. So,
and so by stakeholder, you mean people that have a vested interest in the business, by whether they're customers, investors, employees, things like that?
That's exactly right. So you just named the three most important stakeholder groups. And lately, because government doesn't seem to be getting any smaller, I often add a fourth stakeholder, which is the society, the regulators. Many businesses, even small ones, have to explicitly consider the impact of their activities on that group.
All right. So the vision is a key to helping you get your stakeholders involved so that they can see where you're trying to take this business and what this is all about. Here on Business Nation Radio, we're talking about how you can create systems in your business and really get from overwhelmed to having business processes that run the business for you. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. My guest today is Tom Pizdak. He is author of the book, The Six Sigma Handbook, and he actually trains change agents and people who are creating business processes for corporations that live around the world. So we actually have the expert that systems experts go to for training and advice, and help you today to create your own business processes and systems in your business. So now, Tom, you've got your stakeholders bought in on what you're doing, and in some cases, when you're just starting out, that might be you and your cat. But of course, if you have employees, you kind of got to get them involved and understanding what's going on. You know, once you have this vision, you've got a picture of what you want to accomplish in your business, and you've got your investors, employees, and customers bought in or at least informed of what you're trying to accomplish. What's the next step to getting your business under control and you out of the day-to-day responsibility?
Well, the next step is to identify precisely what these stakeholder groups do want from your business or from their relationship with your business.
Okay.
So we call that getting the voice of the stakeholder.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a process that we describe in our training and in the Six Sigma Handbook where we obtain the voice of the stakeholder, and it primarily starts off very simply by speaking with the different stakeholders. And looking for what these stakeholders say. So we want to capture their voice in their words because humans communicate with language. And what we want is that each stakeholder group understands what the other stakeholders are after. And especially in the case of the employees, they have to be able to translate the voice of the customer and the voice of the investor to internal requirements, so specific management and engineering requirements.
Okay, so it's as simple as figuring out what the customer wants and then creating processes to deliver that desire.
Right, and it's really a one-on-one thing. So, Robert, like you and I would speak, and if you were my customer, I'd ask you questions, three general open-ended questions about your relationship with my business and our products. So I'd ask you for things that you expect the product to have. So these are things that, like, you expect the car to be safe, for example. And things that you wouldn't buy the car unless it had it. So, for example, you know, it has to have four wheels and good paint and that sort of thing. And there are three basic categories of demands that customers generally place on a product or a service. And we put those into the categories of basic, expected, and delighters.
Yeah.
So delighters are things you didn't think you even wanted. But I'll watch you do your work, and I'll watch you go about your business or your life, and I'll think of ways that I can help you that you hadn't even thought of before.
Hmm.
And so those three things are the essential elements of the voice of the customer.
And how does breaking those down help? I mean, if you're running a restaurant, for instance, how does it help to understand the difference between those three things? Isn't it just kind of part of your natural day? Or, you know, how does that help you build these processes?
Well, most small businesses emphasize the basics and the expected quality demands of their customers.
Yeah.
And that certainly is important. So if you're running a restaurant, you're probably being looked at by a governmental unit, a regulatory body, and the basics are going to be things like, you know, the food has to be stored properly, that you have to have proper sanitation, you have to meet the county safety and sanitation requirements. From the customer's point of view, you know, the chairs have to be comfortable, the tables have to be clean, and those are basics that the customer doesn't explicitly consider. They're not going to say, if you did a survey later on, well, the chair didn't hurt my back.
No,
that's yeah. So those are must-dos, and you're probably going to want to set up a business system, a quality assurance system, to be sure that those things are done properly.
Because that's really interesting, Tom, because so many business owners, I hear them, you know, like a restaurant, oh, I'm going to cook this and I'm going to create this great dish, completely forgetting about all of the health systems and refrigeration, freezing, all the different things that go into running a business. All they're thinking about is that little piece of wow, without having an understanding of all the other stuff that's going to be required in order to get to that wow experience.
Well, Robert, that's right. And then they watch the evening news and they see the local newscaster showing the public that you got a D on sanitation.
Well,
so no one's going to come in for that extra special dish that you've prepared.
Now, I certainly want to talk to you and take to the next step of how you take, you know, once you've identified what your stakeholders are looking for and then, you know, the types of things that you're going to need to accomplish in your business. I definitely want to talk with you now how you take that next step, but I've got to take a break. Do you mind hanging out for just a moment while we pay some bills?
Absolutely not. Go out.
All right. We'll be right back with some real implementation steps for you to create systems in your business and also train your staff right after this brief message. When your customers are being barraged with marketing advertisements from every assorted customer, Budweiser, PayPal, Amazon, goodness knows, Geico, all of these companies are barraging your customers with marketing messages. How are you supposed to stand out and get attention when you've got all of these other competitors, not just within your business, but also outside of your business, competing for the attention of your customer? Well, let me tell you, it is through the book outrageous advertising. Marketing that is outrageously successful by my friend Bill Glazer. He authored this book after reviewing thousands of marketing pieces, taking the things that he was successful with, getting customer attention in his retail business, as well as others. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. Outrageous Advertising That's Outrageously Successful by Bill Glazer. Pick it up today. So many business books and management books talk about win-win and things that really sound great to university professors that just don't seem to work in real life. That's why Dan Kennedy wrote the book, The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits, The Ultimate No Holds Barred, Kick Butt, Take No Prisoners Guide to Really Getting Rich. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. It's by Dan Kennedy, where he reveals the insights of why so many business owners get run over by their employees, they get ripped off by their vendors, and they get shysted by their customers. And the insights in this book are extremely revealing because Dan doesn't lie. He's not sugarcoating the truth, but instead he's giving you the real facts of how businesses really operate. The No BS Ruthless Management of People and Profits by Dan Kennedy. Available Amazon.com, BN.com, and bookstores everywhere. Creating business processes and systems is crucial to making your business grow. Otherwise, you just get overwhelmed and business just becomes a full-time, overtime job. My guest today is Tom Pizdak. He is author of the book, The Six Sigma Handbook. Now, don't be alarmed. Six Sigma is just the name of a process to create business processes. And it's six because I think there's six steps or something like that. But Tom can tell us a lot better than I can. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Robert.
Now, if you want to check out the Six Sigma Handbook or more information about how you can apply these to your business, check out Tom's website at SixSigmaTraining.org. And I'm going to spell it now, and I'll also give it to you in a couple of minutes so that you can, you know, if you don't have a pen and paper, you can write it, you can get one, and I'll give it out to you in just a moment. But it's 6 S-I-X Sigma S-I-G-M-A Training T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G .org. And SixSigmaTraining.org will take you to the Six Sigma Handbook, as well as a bunch of articles and things that Tom has about how you can create business systems within your business. Now, Tom, we were talking before about business owners, you know, kind of breaking up the deliverables that they have to fulfill on into three categories. Can you go through those three categories briefly again?
The three categories of customer demands are basic, expected, and delighters.
Okay.
And each of those categories, it's just a way of classifying the different demands and interests of your stakeholders.
So now that you've identified these things, how do you get them done in a systemized way? What does the business owner need to do so that he's not a fireman always constantly putting out fires, and he goes to, you know, he's able to walk in the business and he's got a team of people who are trained and knowledgeable about what needs to happen there?
Well, that's a great question, because one of the primary benefits of the Six Sigma approach is that it helps business owners focus their attention. Without some kind of a structure, such as the three different classes of demands, the business owner is hit with all these different demands and they're unable to react to everything, so they tend to just scattergun and bounce from one thing to the other. The next step that we do is we have them further break the demands into two different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the demands are the I'm getting ahead of myself, but there is an intermediate step, which is to strategize.
Right.
So for each stakeholder, we're going to look at the demands, we're going to sort them into categories, and the different categories are going to be the focus of different strategies.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
But yeah, I mean, I'm looking for, you know, a business owner. I mean, what do they create in order to get themselves free? I mean, what can they do to get this done?
Well, when you break the data into categories, you may take 100 or 200 customer comments in response to your questions and find that they fall neatly into 3 to 5 different categories of interest. So, for example, customers may look at the product, they may look at the service, they may look at price and value, and so on. Investors may look at the rate of return and the consistency of the returns and the safety of their investments. Employees may look at the work they're doing, professional development opportunities, and so on. But so you've reduced the things that you need to pay attention to from 100 or so to just a few.
Okay, so you focus on those key, rather than trying to do everything, you focus on the key deliverables that each of your stakeholders, you know, the employees, customers, and investors, each are looking for from your business.
That's exactly right. And then, now these are broad strategies. What you need to do next is to operationalize those strategies. And what that means is a complicated term for something that's very simple, and that is you're going to say, how do I measure progress in each of these areas?
Okay.
So those metrics then will be further divided into two different classes.
All right.
One kind of metric is called a key requirement, and these are metrics that need to be competitive. So
now,
perhaps you're going to
now, Tom,
be looking at...
All this sounds very complicated. Is it really as difficult as it sounds?
Well, actually, it's a very simple process. We go through this in a short leadership training session. This phase is actually only a couple hours long.
Okay, so it's just a matter of learning these terms and learning this process. I mean, so many business owners jump into business, and they might, you know, if you're a chiropractor, you know, you might know about being a chiropractic physician and the anatomy of the back. If you're a wrecker operator, you may know how to drive a wrecker and hoist cars. If you're a plumber, you might know about plumbing. This is a process where you can learn about how to create businesses that free yourself from the day-to-day time responsibilities.
That's right. So we're going to put a little effort up front, and we're going to get a huge payback in terms of time savings at the back end of this.
Well, the book is The Six Sigma Handbook. Tom, thanks so much for being my guest today on Business Nation Radio.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Now, if you want to check out the book and get some more information on learning how the process of creating a systemized business that operates without your day-to-day fire truck, you know, putting out fires every minute, check out Tom's website. It's sixsigmatraining.org. That's six, S-I-X, sigma, S-I-G-M-A, training, T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G, .org. If you're just launching your business and you're looking for how to, you know, just bootstrap your way into success, my next guest is Melanie Benson Strick, and we'll be right back with Melanie after this brief message. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. I grew up in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing, and at the time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. But in the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day, automatically. That's why I co-authored the book about internet marketing titled The Official Get-Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate new customers and money. I'm not a web programmer. I got a guy who does all that techie work. That's what I want to teach you in my book. The Official Get-Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet teaches you how to create a website to understand what you need to give to the techie guy, how to evaluate what he or she creates, and how to give them the instructions on finalizing it for the web. For more information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar revealing the secrets of successful sites, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.com. internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested a lot of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions of them are buying things. There isn't any reason why they couldn't be buying from you. To get them to buy from you, visit www.internetinformationmarketing.com. The site again is internetinformationmarketing.com. Check it out today. As a business owner, one of the crucial steps is to break free and create business processes and systems in your business that allow you to get the work done without you having to do it yourself. Well, my guest today is Melanie Benson-Strick, and she is known as the Million Dollar Lifestyle Business Coach because she knows firsthand how to build a successful, thriving, freedom-based company with her secret weapon, and that is leverage. Welcome, Melanie, to Business Nation Radio.
Thanks, Robert. Glad to be here talking about one of my most favorite things.
Now, so you work with a lot of business owners that are maybe they're solopreneurs. It's just they're by themselves running their business, and it could be something that they do at home, or it could be something that they're out providing a service within their community. But by the time they get make all the calls to potential clients, go actually serve the customers, and then go back and do their billing, they don't have a whole lot of time. For somebody who is scrambling just to keep up with their business, just scrambling to get by with their bills, what's the most important thing they can do in order to try to break free and build a better lifestyle for their business life?
Well, and I think this hits business owners of all sizes, whether they're the solopreneur or they may be really moving into seven figures. It just hits us differently at these different stages. I think the fastest way to really make that your energy come back to what's important, be able to spend more time doing what you love, and experience that time freedom that we all want, is you've got to learn to leverage your time, your energy, and your resources better.
But what does mean?
What it really means is you got to figure out, how do I do something a little bit and get a massive result, right?
Okay.
It's like, I want to put a little bit of energy into it once, and then I use that over and over and over again. Or I figure out what I want to do, and then I have other people help me get it done, so that you're not constantly recreating the wheel. So you're letting go of all these mistakes and breakdowns because you figure out, how do I want it done, and then systems and people help you execute on it and get it done right.
Well, what does that look like in an example for one of your clients or something that where they went from doing this themselves, putting in some energy, and having a process that took care of this thing on an ongoing basis for them?
I'll give you a great example, because I use systems in all different ways, from systems for teams and even systems for the way we think and how we take action as a leader of our company. And I work with a client in Australia who has an SEO business.
Helping websites get more traffic by getting them higher in the search engines.
Right. And this particular person specializes in getting offline businesses into the online market and then getting their websites lots of traffic.
Okay.
But his problem was, it was taking him a lot of time to go meet with these offline business owners and to educate them why and move into working together. A lot of times he was working with clients or meeting with prospects that weren't even interested or couldn't afford him. So we created a system for how he might evaluate the prospect and get the prospect really eager, almost pre-selling the prospect, so that this prospect was hungry and he knew that this person could afford him and really needed and wanted it. And then he met with the client to work on making the sale. And what it did is it cut his sales time down to 30% of what he was spending, but it increased his revenues, because we also created a system for bundling his projects.
So not only did you increase the prices, but you by creating a larger bundle, but you also figured out a way that the customers went through some sort of process where they qualified whether or not they were ready to do business.
Yeah, and actually what we did is we didn't even raise his prices. What we did was we created one selling opportunity that lasted longer and was a bigger upfront purchase price, rather than multiple times he had to go back and meet with the client, so it reduced his work effort.
Hmm.
It's really exciting to see how little systems can have such huge impacts, And it's things we kind of fuddle around with. Mm-hmm. But the minute we kind of set it up saying, this is my protocol, this is how I follow my steps, you have more fun with it because you're eliminating the guesswork, but you're also putting into action something that's proven to generate a predictable result.
Melanie, what about somebody who's been in a type of business and the customers expect to deal with them one way? Is it is it really possible to package together a longer term program in order to get a larger sale? I mean, what for a business owner that's looking at this going, oh man, there's just no way I could apply that. What type of advice do you have for them to try to break away from the industry norms into going a direction that suits their interests better?
Well, I do think you have to know your audience, and that's really important. I think you have to know what their buying patterns are. And if you really understand their buying patterns, you might be able to position it as a win-win.
Hmm.
So if they're buying up in bulk up front, you may end up being able to save them money. And so everybody wants to save money, so it's all about how you position it.
Hmm.
I worked with a massage therapist once who that industry as a whole is conditioned to say, okay, I want a massage. I'm paying you the $75 or the $100 or whatever it is to get a massage today. But it hurt her cash flow because she never knew when it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what if she put a package together that says, I'm going to give you 3, 6, or 10 massages or 9 massages, and then you get the 10th free.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just starting to think out of the box, and that leads to better cash flow. Now, we're talking about something different. They're not systems, but the idea is, how do you start to systemize your approach to things? So you take the guesswork out, you eliminate the breakdowns, and you create more time for creating and planning and visioning and building strategic relationships.
Well, Melanie Benson-Strick is with me here today on Business Nation Radio, and we're talking about how you could break free from the day-to-day grind and create business processes and systems that allow you to get work done more effectively with less time. And I want you to check out Melanie's website. It's successconnections.com, and she's got a very special page on her website that I want to draw your attention to. So that's successconnections.com/101ways. So I'll go ahead and give that to you in just a moment so you can get a pen and paper out if you would like to write that down. Now, Melanie, when somebody starts this, they've got a lot of, all they could do to keep up with what they're already doing. How do they find the energy and time in order to create something new that's going to kind of pay them back over and over again?
Mm, that's such a great question because people do get overwhelmed, especially when you're in that startup phase or maybe you're in a heavy growth phase. I like to look at it and say, prioritize the things where you have a lot of breakdowns or it takes you a lot of time to get them done, or maybe you're ready to hand it off. This is a big reason why we create processes and procedures, because you want someone to help you, but the idea of handing it off, you're afraid of losing control or it being done wrong. And in the beginning, one of the things I say is start with simple things like, what's a process for how you want to handle email requests? What's a process for handling calls so somebody else could route them for you? How do you want to take on a new client?
I definitely want to talk to you about the team thing, because a lot of business owners, especially when they're just starting out, by being able to bring somebody on, knowing how to finance that, because a lot of time it's a money issue, and also how to get productivity there so that maybe that person actually even increases their income, would be a good thing for us to discuss. But if you would, do you mind staying after the break for just a moment?
No, I'm happy to.
All right, we'll be right back with Melanie Benson-Strick. In the meantime, check out her website. It's at successconnections.com/101ways, and that's SUCCESS, and then connection, connections.com/101ways. We'll be right back with secrets and insights about building your team and building it for success right after this brief message. The one book that I recommend above all others is Robert Cialdini's Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. In this book, Dr. Cialdini reviews several different ways that you can influence the behavior of other people. Can you imagine reaching out and getting somebody to do something because they want to do it? And it's all in this book. This book is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com, really booksellers everywhere. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and it's all about getting people to do what you want them to by convincing them that it's something that they've wanted to do all the time. It's pure magic. And Robert breaks down each of the methods of influence, the ways that you can do it, and also he tells a lot of great stories to make it easy to understand. Influence, the psychology of persuasion. Go out to a bookstore near you or Amazon.com and get it today. So many business books and management books talk about win-win and things that really sound great to university professors that just don't seem to work in real life. That's why Dan Kennedy wrote the book, The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits, the ultimate no-holds-barred, kick-butt, take-no-prisoners guide to really getting rich. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. It's by Dan Kennedy, where he reveals the insights of why so many business owners get run over by their employees, they get ripped off by their vendors, and they get shysted by their customers. And the insights in this book are extremely revealing because Dan doesn't lie. He's not sugarcoating the truth, but instead he's giving you the real facts of how businesses really operate. The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits by Dan Kennedy, available Amazon.com, BN.com, and bookstores everywhere. When you're just launching your business, it's generally all you can do to pay for yourself. I mean, how are you going to also generate enough money to bring on somebody extra, and especially somebody qualified to take over various aspects of your business? Well, my guest today is Melanie Benson-Strick from SuccessConnections.com, and we're talking about how you can build a business and be able to hand projects off and tasks to give you more freedom so you're spending less time trying to keep up like a hamster in a wheel, and more time really enjoying the business that you created, working with customers, and doing really what you love. So welcome, Melanie. Appreciate you being on Business Nation Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, you know, with a business owner, they're all by themselves. They're trying to get things done. And you mentioned on the last segment about them trying to bring on people with the, you know, as a team. But one of the biggest obstacles is paying that person. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's, even if they are able to get some of the paperwork done, and yeah, okay, I can maybe do some more things. But you know, how do you generate the extra revenue, or how do you finance bringing somebody on when it's really all you can do to pay for yourself at the moment?
Well, I think it's a couple things. One, I really believe it starts with a mindset shift. And as a business owner, we all know we have to invest in different strategic growth strategies. We have things that we do for marketing. We have things to do to you know, increase the products or the services we offer. But many times people think, I have to be able to do it all ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so when you realize your job is to grow, and you can only grow so big if it's you, then you realize this is an investment we have to make in the growth of our business. So by shifting away from the I have to do it all myself, from realizing we're striving towards another way to invest in our growth, it starts to make it a necessary thing rather than a luxury, which I think many people falsely believe it's a luxury.
And I mean, one of my frustrations is for a long time is I couldn't get anybody to care as much about my uh-huh. business as I cared about my business. And all the time, you know, they might make a mistake or something, you know, a project would get half done. And rather than dealing with them, it was just a lot faster for me to jump in and do it myself. And one of the things that I really realized was that as long as I allowed that impulse of just doing it myself, that I was continually trapped. And I had to, as you say, change my mindset instead to go, okay, how, you know, there was this failure here. This person that I delegated this project to didn't get it done properly. How can I delegate it differently next time? How can I package the project differently? How can I create the instructions differently so that the next time I delegate a project, they deliver it on time and correctly? And I found that I was able to really improve my delegation when I figured out that I have to stop just taking the project back and start learning how to be a better delegator.
Yeah, they call that monkey management. When you take back somebody, Ken Blanchard and William Onken did a book on that. But the idea here is that, first of all, there's so much that goes into how we outsource, how we delegate, how we hire. From the minute we decide what we're putting in that role, all the way through the person that we select to how we, as the business owner, delegate. Most business owners are entrepreneurs who are very creative and very high energy, and we have a lot going on, and so we delegate as badly as we, you know, have bright, shiny object syndrome and going a mile a minute. So it really is about understanding, going back to this idea of a system, what's the system for making a successful delegation process?
Mm.
Now, when you understand what's possible and how you can exponentially grow your income because you're getting tasks done that you can't get done, because you can serve more clients, because you can take on projects and opportunities that when it was just you, you'd have to say no to, going back to this idea of how do we pay for them, I just want to bring forward this idea that when you realize what revenue can be generated and how you can tie a team member's performance to revenue, then it becomes more of the, again, the leader making a decision for return on investment rather than saying, how do I pay for something that I don't have money for? It's always tied to the growth opportunity.
And I mean, and there's lots of ways that you can generate revenue with bringing on a new team member.
You can pay for performance marketing and salespeople and a lot of online business managers now, if you have an online business, or even business managers and operations people understand they have to contribute to the bottom line, so you can give them partial incentive for that.
I mean, and if you know, offline, it could be a matter of having customer service calls get answered by a person that's able to ask the customer a couple of questions and maybe even create an appointment or create a sale that you didn't even have to, because you weren't around, and that's one less voicemail that you have to return. And
and
there may even be processes within your business where, you know, maybe the person's new can't get the entire project done, but can take it to a step that will make it a lot easier for you, that you just have to provide your expertise and the project gets done without a whole lot of hassle and work. Well, Melanie, thank you so much for being my guest today on Business Nation Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Melanie has a special page on her website that she set up for you about ways to build teams and manage a team for more effectiveness and more profit for you. Check out her website. It's at successconnections.com/101ways, 101 ways. So that's I'll spell it for you. It's Success Connections, successconnections.com/101ways. And I'll be right back on Business Nation Radio with more business building advice after this.
This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. I grew up in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing, and at the time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. But in the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book about internet marketing titled The Official Get-Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate new customers and money. I'm not a web programmer. I got a guy who does all that techie work. That's what I want to teach you in my book. The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet teaches you how to create a website and understand what you need to give to the techie guy, how to evaluate what he or she creates, and how to give them the instructions on finalizing it for the web. For more information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar revealing the secrets of successful sites, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested a lot of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions of them are buying things. There isn't any reason why they couldn't be buying from you. To get them to buy from you, visit www.internetinformationmarketing.com. The site again is internetinformationmarketing.com. Check it out today.
As you can see, the whole topic of creating business systems and processes is pretty complicated. And even for us here on Business Nation Radio, even though as your loyal host, it's often very difficult to take a complicated topic like that and boil it down for you. But one of the things that I really think that I've taken away from what we heard from Tom Pizdak and Melanie Benson Strick today is how easy the process is when you get started. And number two is you always have to begin with the end in mind. And let me give you an example. I think that for the first time this year, I created a plan of what I want my business to look like after the end of the year. And so I wrote down the number of employees that I expect to have, the types of roles that I want those employees to be doing, the types of clients that I want to have, and the number of customers. And I wrote all of that down. And I can tell you, you know what? I have no idea how I'm going to get from where I am to what that looks like in that map. But what I'm told and kind of what I've seen here with Melanie and Tom is that that is where the successful businesses start. They take the time, they look at what they want to achieve. And, you know, Tom talked about it being as a vision and also talked about the deliverables and things and all that's fine. And I certainly agree with Tom. For me, what was important was to create a little map of where the revenues are going to come from, what types of customers, and even maybe even outline, you know, of these eight companies, three of them are going to be my client by the end of the year. And then these are the types of roles that I want within my company. These are the job descriptions and kind of a little outline description of what that employee looks like that would be doing that role, not necessarily in looks, but in a background and expertise. And I got to tell you, over the last several weeks, I've been as busy as I've ever been. However, having that outline helps me keep focus because I look at it at the beginning of every week and I go, okay, what am I going to accomplish this week to get me closer to this goal that's going to get me closer to this business? Are there people I can call? Are there things I can do? Are there things I can meet that even though I'm busy, let me try to schedule a little time here, a little time there to create the business that I'm looking to create. And we'll see. You know what? We'll go on this ride together and I'll keep you informed as to how I'm making progress. And I want to know how you're making progress. If you want, welcome to visit my blog at robertscrobe.com. That's robertscrobe.com. Of course, this is a whole series of programs on running your business. And we've talked about generating new customers. We've talked about increasing revenue from existing customers. Today, we're talking all about business systems. On next week's program, we're going to talk about all about business metrics and how you can use metrics to run your business and get you more effectively. It's almost like signposts that help you make sure that you're getting to where you're looking to get. You know, it's just like when you're driving down the interstate, you look, see those signs and it says Milwaukee, 200 miles. Well, that tells you you're 200 miles away from Milwaukee. It's not bad or good necessarily. It just tells you that you're headed in that direction and about how far you have to get there. Well, that's the same with business metrics, is it tells you not only where you're headed, but how far away you are, and if you're really even headed in the right direction. So these are things that are crucially important. And again, if you've got any comments, suggestions for the show, go visit my blog at robertscrobe.com. And the post for this week's program is how to get your life back while growing your business faster. And you're welcome to comment on the program, ask me questions, ask questions of our guests, as well as listen to other programs that we've done. And we're good way through January. January is almost over at this point, and we're certainly got 1 month in. Do you have 1 month's worth of goals done? Well, I hope so. And keep me informed. I want to know how you're doing in your business as we begin this. So until next week, I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, for Business Nation Radio.